You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Wow. Good music, too.
New. No, that's old music.
This is old, huh?
But welcome in to the Jim Day Podcast. It's the season debut. Jonathan, I don't know if you know this, but you're on the season debut.
Oh, my God. I feel honored.
So you're digging the music?
This is some, laid-back rock music.
Yes, I like it.
Some good vibes.
All right, welcome in. We're back for the attack. I'm back simply just to talk to Jonathan India. That's the only reason I brought this podcast back. However, in the coming weeks, you're going to hear from, I sat down Nick Lodolo and Graham Ashcraft together, the best of friends. Eric Davis and Barry Larkin together.
Ooh, that's
now
electric,
that
huh?
One will be a barrel of laughs. Jake Fraley, serious thinking dude, he'll be coming up. But today it's Jonathan Itty. How you doing?
I'm great, Jim. I feel great. I'm in a good spot, you know, mentally, physically. Everything's clicking. Well, so
physically, and you're probably getting tired of talking about this at this point, but last year you came in heavier.
Yes.
By design.
Yep.
When people think, well, I showed up, showed up fat. No, that was, it was by design.
Yes.
But not quite. It's always a learning experience, exactly. Especially when you're growing into your body. Still a young guy. Wasn't the right path,
no,
right?
Not at all. I got injured because of the weight, I think. I don't think I could play at the weight I was. I was 212, 213. And just for a player that I am, the running, trying to steal bags, all over the field, hustling plays, it's just not the weight I can carry on my body. I got injured because of it. So I came in lean and mean this year,
Well, in spring training, you looked good.
Yeah.
Not only solid contact. Bring the ball all over the place.
Everywhere. But just getting caught,
Yeah, look good in the field as well, yes. Which you're going to need with the lack of the shift. Now, how are we on that? Because most second basemen I talk to, or at least the ones that are asked to go out in short right field, mm-hmm. No bueno.
No, I'm not a fan of that either. That short right field deal is... it takes forever the ball to get to you.
Yeah.
And then you got to play the skip on the grass. And sometimes, you got to rush because you're so far from the hitter.
Yeah.
So the timing's off for me when I'm that far.
Right.
So I'm happy that we're not in, short right anymore. We're playing infield now. There's no such thing as infield out, whatever it is. Infield out, whatever they call it, the shift. So I'm excited. I'm excited to stay in the dirt and make some plays this year.
Would it be safe to say that, I don't want to say chip on your shoulder, but mm-hmm. maybe, and not necessarily prove people wrong, because,
right.
You're out to prove yourself right,
right.
more so. When you're talking about range, like, oh, I don't know, without right, right. the shift, I don't know if he's going to be able to handle whatever. Are you out to prove some people wrong maybe in that
Of course.
Range?
There's some doubters out there that thought I should be playing outfield. They thought I should be out and left. But I'm an infielder, to a T, in my heart, I'm an infielder. I will always, bust my ass to be in the infield. I work really hard to be in that position. I'm excited to show everyone what I got this year.
The pitch clock. I love these new rules. I know that's a big adjustment for you guys, and I know it's a game changer. But from what we saw in spring training there, it's just a better brand of a game. It's much more watchable. How do you feel?
Honestly, the first two games dealing with it in spring training, I was kind of like skeptical. And I was like, this kind of like got no rhythm. I feel like I'm rushing everything, hitting, fielding. But as it went on and you find your rhythm within the new rules, it's actually amazing. There's no thinking involved in the game anymore. You can't step out of the box, take a deep breath, be in your thoughts. Say, this is 0-2. Maybe he's coming with a slider, and the report says slider away. You can't do that anymore because you have a time on you.
Yeah.
So it's just see ball, hit ball at this point. You get in the box, compete, and that's who I am as a hitter. I compete in the box. I don't like to think about percentages and, what this guy throws at this count. So I think it helps me a lot for my game, and especially defense. You just stay you're focused the whole time because the game moves so much faster. So that helps me just stay focused the whole game.
Let's hope that what we saw in the spring carries over here in the regular season this week.
Yeah.
Because there were a lot more balls in play. It just was a, you know, which has been lacking in the game. So what they were after, at least in spring training, it came to fruition. Did you think that there were more balls in play?
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, the game is just so much more smoother. You know, there's guys, you know, they're competing every at-bat, and so they're in each at-bat. So there's more plays in the infield, more plays in the outfield. You know, there's a lot more high-scoring games. It's just because pitchers don't have time to, you know, sit back like we do as hitters, you know, take a step out of the box. They don't have time. They have to get back on the mound and execute a pitch without thinking. So it helps pitchers as well, you know, just get up and throw the ball.
The mood in the clubhouse seems pretty good. Tell me if I'm wrong. But last year, let's face it, it was first day of camp.
Yeah.
You've got two major players traded, and it was a downer, man. It was like a morgue day, and it kind of just went through throughout the whole spring and end of the season, and obviously you guys had that really tough start to the season. The vibe seems different. Is it?
A lot more different. I mean, being brutally honest, as a rookie with those guys I had on my team was like special. You know, it's a rare opportunity for a rookie to be with those mm-hmm. phenoms I had on my team. You know, Castellanos, Winker, Suarez, everyone. You know, Joey, everyone that we had. But you know, going into spring training, you know, them not signing anyone back, especially Castellanos, one of my best friends. I kind of took it to heart because, you know, it was my first time dealing with that sort of, you know, thing.
Right.
Where teams just get rid of guys. I, you know, that was my first time dealing with that. So I took it to heart. You know, I didn't handle it the right way, you know, mentally. I talked to a lot of guys about it that, you know, I think that's why our season was like that last year, because we couldn't, you know, we didn't have guys that would bring us together and say, listen, we're okay. You know, let's play our game. You know, we kind of all just like got shocked. You know, it was like a culture shock. Like, wow, where's everyone going? You know, why are we doing this? But it's part of the business, part of the game. And I matured a lot from that. And now I know that's how it is. And all you could do is worry about the guys in the clubhouse, you know, and give it all you got with those guys. And that's what we kind of preached this spring training at the beginning is like, no matter who we have, no matter who makes a team, you know, this is our team. And we got to give it all. We got to have the same mindset through every game as competing and to win. I don't care what people say about us on paper. I don't care what people say about how we look, you know, physically. We're different mentally than a lot of people, on a lot of teams. And I think we're going to have a really good year.
Well, just that extra little bit of effort, and I think you've talked about this during spring training, to play with more emotion, to have more emotion in the dugout, because you guys are going to need every ounce of everything to get over the hump in certain games. Yep. Do you think that that's important? And really kind of these new rules plays into the type of team that you may have.
Yeah, I think we do need that gritty mentality all year to get over some big humps this year. Mm-hmm. And we have that. We have a bunch of guys on this team trying to prove themselves. And that's special. When you get a group like that, that trying to earn their spots and, you know, make their names, you know, set in stone in their career, that's pretty cool. You see a lot of guys grinding for what they want in their career. And, you know, I think it's going to be a special year with that mentality throughout the whole year, because I've seen it. I've won a national championship in college with a group of guys that was – I was a sophomore, so our team wasn't as good as my freshman year and junior year. And we won with the worst team my sophomore year.
Wow.
Yeah. And no one hit over 300 that year.
Really?
Yeah. So it was
special. College level, no one hit over 300 that year.
So, and we won it because we all had the same mentality.
Yeah.
And you know, we played as a team. We wanted to win because everyone started doubting us because, you know, the Gators aren't, you know, number one. They're false. You know, they're fake number one. And we won it because we want to prove a lot of people wrong. I think that's what we have, that mentality here. We're trying to prove people wrong that, you know, we don't care what anyone says. We know what type of team we are. We're a fast, gritty, you know, mean team that wants to win.
Oh, I like hearing mean.
Yeah.
I like hearing mean. Now, you showed up and you just talked about it. It wasn't long ago you were a rookie.
Yep.
Wide-eyed rookie.
Yep.
Now, a few years later, as it's played out, you're one of the leaders of the team, if not the leader on the team. But you showed up in accepting the role and very outgoing and vocal with players. Why is it important for you? You can lead by example all mm-hmm. you want, but also to be, you're not a rah-rah guy, no. but to lead vocally as well. Yeah. Why is that important to you?
Well, I mean, every team needs guys to bring people together. You know, you can't just have a team of individuals where, you know, they just do their job that day and whatever happens, happens. I just don't think that's the right way to play baseball at this level. I mean, you know, I'm still young in this game and still a lot to learn, but, you know, the best teams I've been on growing up is teams that played together and had a good camaraderie. You know, they've done stuff off the field together, and they just were good friends. You know, they had a chemistry. So I think that's what we have. And I preach that. I say, you know, we need to hang out. We need to be friends on the field, because with that, you know, that bond, you can create such something really special on the field. And I've seen it. So never seen it at this level, obviously, on a team, but I've seen it at the collegiate level.
Now, something I was very impressed with is you're not just, you know, talking the talk, per se. You're walking the walk in this regard. You want to be an organizational leader yeah. because you even had a conversation, correct me if I'm wrong, with Matt McClain, who is yeah. – some people say, oh, he's the future second baseman mm-hmm. of the Cincinnati Reds. And a lot of guys with the competition, yeah. egos, et cetera, wouldn't want to help a kid like right. that. But you went out of your way to talk to him. Why was yeah. that important? And what can you share some of the conversation that you
yeah, had? Yeah, I mean, it's I don't think of it like, you know, the young guys trying to take my job. You know, that's always a thing in baseball.
Yeah.
Where guys are, you know, like kind of offended. Well, I don't know how to say it, but like kind of scared of the young guys, so they don't want to give them any tips.
Right.
For me, it's, you know, I want to help as much as I can because I know my ability. I know who I am. I'm confident in my talent, my ability to play this game. I know I'm going to play a long time in this game just because of who I am. So I'll help anyone at a position, even if it's second, short, third. You know, it doesn't matter to me. Anything that helps them get to where they want to be, you know, because this game is really hard. You know, and a lot of people – and the minor leagues don't know until they get here how hard this game is. I just gave him some pointers, you know, to never take a rep off even in these practices, because, you know, that's how I made the team my in 21. You know, I grinded every single day, and there were days where I was exhausted, but I had to make the team somehow, some way. Played well in the games too, but it all starts on the practice. It all starts there. Early routines, you get your routines in, and it'll translate into the game.
Well, I think it says a lot about you as a person that when I heard that, I'm like, wow, all right.
Yeah.
Go on with it. I was very much impressed.
No doubt.
So who else do you think is it going to be you and Stevenson? I sat yeah. you down for TV earlier in the spring. That, you know, he's obviously got to be a leader as a catcher.
Yeah.
But he's kind of growing into a leadership role, yeah. whereas when he first came, you know, he's such a kind person.
He's a very nice person.
Such a nice kid. I mean, his parents did such a good job with him. Yeah. I'm like, okay, does he have it into him where he can go out there and just tear into a pitcher when he's right? not pitching well? And I think he's got some of that in a way. You guys have become tight, right?
Yeah, yeah. Me and Steve are very tight. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, how we're going to go about this year with our team. And, you know, what we expect out of players and what we expect out of ourselves, you know, we're going to hold each other accountable. If he sees me slacking off with, you know, not doing my routine one day before a game, or, you know, not hustling a ball out, or, you know, just having a bad attitude and not showing energy, I told him to get on me and I'll do it for him just because we need that. You know, people look at us like people look up to us a little bit on this team.
Oh, very much so.
You know, so, and especially with Joey, I look up to Joey and Joey knows that. And Joey is a great role model for a lot of people because he does not take a rep off. And that's what I take pride in my game, is not taking anything off, not taking one rep off, and hustling throughout the game, showing, you know, that I want to be out there and compete. You know, I give it 110% every time I'm on the field. So that's what I talked to Steve about. I said, listen, man, if we show that, you know, a lot of the guys on the team will follow, because it's a very, like, how do you say that?
You're asking me?
Yeah, how do
I get paid to talk? It's I don't.
I lost the word I was about to say. Jesus, whatever. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean.
Contagious. That's the word, contagious.
Thank you very much. We've come up with the word contagious. Don't rely on the broadcaster to come up with the word. You've got to come up with your own word.
Yeah.
No, I get it. It is contagious. And we talk about leading by example. I mean, Votto would be like the poster child for that, right?
He's the best.
You talked about no reps off of him. In spring training, he just had his head down. He was a different cat.
Oh, yeah.
There was not a
He's
whole
playing
lot of
right now, talk, you know?
Talking going on. He was like into rehab and getting it right. So who are you hanging with on the team?
Let's see. I mean, I'm friends with a lot of guys on the team. Yeah. But off the field, I'm with Jake Fraley a lot. Ashcraft.
Room with him at
spring
training, right?
Yeah, I'm living with him. Yeah. He's a good dude. He knows how to cook some ribs.
Really?
Yeah, you gotta taste his ribs. He's holding out on me. I told him the other day, I said, hey, dude, if there's ever like a cookout in Cincinnati, I said, dude, I'm signing you up.
Really?
Yeah, they're that good.
Wow.
Yeah, no, they're that good.
Now, how did he prepare them? Do you know?
He's got a recipe from his dad, he said. Yeah, ask him about it, but they're incredible.
Southern kid with ribs.
Unbelievable.
Nice.
Oh, my God. I just had them the other day. They're really good.
Now, when I first heard that you guys were rooming in spring training, I'm like, not that that's an odd couple, but it's like, it's one that I wouldn't pick.
Yeah, no, you know, it was, we didn't really, I mean, we were friends.
Yeah.
But we were different schedules. He's a pitcher, I'm an infielder. So it was just a little odd, but I became close enough with them to be like, hey, you want to live with me this year? You know, I got an extra room in my house. So we became closer living together, and he's a cool dude.
He's got a good mentality for a pitcher
because he's mean.
He's a bulldog. He is mean.
He's mean.
He is very much.
He don't care who's up
to bat. Yeah, he is flat out mean.
Oh, yeah.
He got hit in spring training on the foot or ankle or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, you all right? He's like, mama didn't raise no. I don't want to say the word he said.
Yeah. He's a strong individual, man.
Yeah.
Mentally.
And confident. I love
it. Oh, yeah.
All right. So you're hanging with Fraley's an interesting dude, by the way.
He's a great, great guy.
I mean, really interesting.
Yeah. He's very big into like the psychology of everything.
Yeah.
That's what I am too. So
yeah,
we clicked on that front. And
I'd like to get you guys both together.
Yeah. I want to do that.
Would
you know
like,
how cool that would be?
Yeah.
To talk about like the mental side of like baseball and life.
Yeah. Cause I talked to him about it, and it's in the upcoming weeks, you're going to hear it's a very deep conversation with Jake Fraley, but I would like to expand upon it and have player. And you could even host the thing if you want. I could just stand out of the way. I'll welcome us in and I'll let you guys go. You want to be a co-host?
I would do it because that would be a sick conversation. We've had plenty of talks too, and they go on for a long
really?
Time.
Really? Yeah. All right. Well, since we kicked your boy Farmer out of here.
I know. You know? That's I'm going to miss him. Big Farm.
You think I don't miss him?
I know.
He was last year's podcast. He was it.
He was the life of the party.
We were thinking about renaming it the Kyle Farmer podcast with Jim Day.
Yeah. I mean, he does take over. He does take over.
He does. But hopefully he's doing well in Minnesota. I told him we're going to prank call him on one of these podcasts coming up.
You might have to bleep some of the stuff he says, you know.
I can edit around it. We had to call him. I had to call him right now, but we'll move on.
He's probably playing right now.
No?
No, he's not playing right now.
The best thing is if he wouldn't answer, if we could leave a message for
him. Leave a little voicemail.
Yeah.
You know how funny that would be?
All right, hold on.
Let's do it.
Let's see if I can get this hooked up here. With the new equipment. Let's see. I have his number, of course, somewhere.
Kyle Farmer.
Like, what do I have it under? Yeah.
Leave me alone, Jim.
Oh, he is. Yeah. He's going to. What are you doing? What are you calling me? I got rid of you. Let's see what happens here.
Oh, you got it hooked
one
up.
Ringy dingy.
That's so cool that you could put it on the headphones.
Yeah.
Hello, Jim.
Kyle Farmer, you are on the podcast.
You are on the podcast, Kyle Farmer.
Oh, is this one of my best friends of
Look
all
at
time?
This. We did not
goodness.
Think you were going to
answer. I'm just sitting here on the couch. Just hanging out, look at you.
Wow.
On East Coast time.
I know. That's why we thought you were playing right now.
No. You know what's funny, John, is that now I'm 32, going 33, that don't let the old guys
travel. Oh, so yeah, you get days off now.
Oh, yeah.
They turn you soft over there, huh?
they let the old bones kind of just
yeah, yeah.
What are y'all doing?
We're doing a podcast.
We're podcasting, dude.
Jonathan's thinking about being a co-host this year, and we needed your approval since you were the – it was the Kyle Farmer podcast with Jim Day last year.
You're passing the torch to me.
Can you pass the torch?
Gladly. There's no one else I'd rather give it to than John. Hell but hopefully Jim will give you a little more perks than he gave me. You just gave me a handshake.
You know what? I've been working on that because I had to tell – I told the brass, like – these guys need something for doing the podcast. So who brought it up? Well, Farmer did, of course.
He's not here anymore.
He's not here. It was much easier to throw you under the bus that you're not no longer present.
The fact that you're not sponsored now, it just says a lot about you and the job that you do.
Hey, two homers the other day, huh?
Yeah, it was sick.
Jesus, yeah. Kyle.
Yeah. Off of righties.
Yeah, it was sweet. Both righties, actually. Yeah, it was off of Kramer, the guy.
The Orioles guy, yeah.
And then it was dead center on a line. Jesus. I never hit a ball like that before.
You got some more juice, my huh? Eyes and,
yeah, just, you know, and I don't know.
It extra
just
dad strength.
I had to carry McCoy around. I'm chasing McCoy now, around now, not carrying.
Yeah, he's running around now.
McCoy running the house yet? Is he?
He doesn't know how to walk the house. He runs, that literally runs through the house.
Yeah, I miss that little guy.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, I sent Jim some videos. He's starting to hit off the tee a little bit. Damn. It's really good.
Already. How about that?
Already.
How old is he?
He put on a glove. He's a year and a half.
He'll be a year and a half. He's already hitting off the tee.
That's incredible.
Wow. Very nice.
Make him a lefty.
I'm trying. That way we don't, you know, there's no reason to.
No platoon.
No.
Make no platoon, lefty. You know. Yeah, one farmer doesn't need a platoon.
Or switcher.
Yeah, but it's been good. It's learned a lot about the hitting here. It's cool. It's cool. It's fun. I really enjoyed Florida, John. You've been nice.
You like it down there, huh?
State. It's a nice little state. A lot of old people.
Yeah. a lot of retired communities down there.
Golly, driving around here. I mean, you got to be careful. I mean,
especially Fort Myers where you're at.
Yeah, there's a lot of old people walking around. Yeah, man. Driving around.
It's hot down there.
Now, hold on a second. I have to stick up for the old people. You youngsters.
Jim, you're not really. No, these people drive where they're looking through the steering wheel, not over.
Yeah, you know, that's what you get when you get to the west coast of Florida.
That's all right.
Sig out the window.
When you go down to my area, you get more people our age.
Yeah.
What's the closest spring training place to where you're from, John? Oh, okay. Who's in Jupiter? Is that the Marlins?
Yeah, Cardinals and Marlins. They're 35, 45 minutes from my house.
You haven't gone to one away game?
No, Boston. But that's in Fort Myers as well. So, wow.
But that's those away games are hikes for you guys.
Yeah.
2.5 hours.
What the hell?
Florida's a different animal, man, spring training. Those away games.
It is.
You got to go to Lakeland, you're dealing with I-4, and it's just bad.
Yeah, that's a joke.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the weather here has been great. You know, the humidity is good. But then I'm going back to Minnesota, and it's 19 degrees right now with snow. There's 6 feet of snow there right now.
That's not fun, man. That's not going to be fun.
No. Brutal. How's the team looking, John?
I think we're going to shock a lot of people. The mindset of the team is different, you know. It's a gritty group, bro. You would like it. It's a lot of people that play baseball way we play.
That's awesome.
You know, hard-nosed people.
This is good. You're already showing co-host abilities. This is beautiful.
Yeah, I am. I'm getting into it.
This is awesome.
Kyle's making me feel comfortable.
Do that a lot to a lot of people.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you for answering. We were going to leave you a really inappropriate message if you didn't answer, but you answered, which is even better.
Yeah, even better.
I get goosebumps whenever you call me Jim.
Oh my goodness! Now we're going to have to end it on that. That's just fibbing. It's just lying.
One other question. How is Kirk Sally?
Kirk Sally.
Here we go.
Hey, Kirk's doing well, man. I like Kirk. He's actually.
Is he still it?
He's moving well, moving around well.
Good.
Dude, this camp too. This camp has been incredible. We've been running. We're like a track team.
Dude, Robson McGalley's got you running.
Oh my God, it's incredible. We run bases almost every day.
Oh no!
It's good
conditioning. It's a hard camp. It's a hard camp.
I bet Votto loves that.
You should hear Joe, man. It's funny. He's funny when he with all the running and stuff.
And you know, it's funny, when I got here, the first questions that everybody asked me was like, what's Votto like? What's Votto like? And I was like, really? How much time do you
have? Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. There's a lot of stories about him.
There's no way to explain him in like one paragraph.
No, you need a full day to talk about Joey.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
He's been really fun though this year, man. He's already playing in games.
I know. I saw that. It's awesome. Can't believe he got up stolen base yesterday.
Yeah, he did. He's like running around like he's like 20. It's incredible.
Good for him. I hope I need him to get above 300 career.
He's locked in.
He'll do it. He's locked in right now. That's a huge milestone for him.
Oh, yeah. He'll definitely do it. I see it in him.
All right, Kyle Farmer, thank you for turning over the reins.
Thank you so much, Kyle. Hey, love you, dog.
John, when you speak of me, speak well.
Oh, always do.
Don't freeze your butt off up there in Minnesota. Yeah.
Dress warm.
Stay warm.
Jim, just stay out of trouble.
I will. Tell Granny and them I said, hey.
All right, I will.
See you, Kyle.
See you, bro.
See you guys.
It's never a bad.
See, that's the impromptu-ness of this
never a
podcast.
Bad conversation with Kyle Farmer.
There's not.
Never.
People are like, why would you call him? He's gone.
He's the best.
This podcast is universal.
Yeah, yeah. It's not just a Reds podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Kyle was, you saw it last year. Kyle was like the heart and soul of the team.
He was.
You know, he was involved with everything of the team.
Yeah.
He, you know, when someone was down, he brought them up. You know, when he was down, he was always, you know, even keeled. He never showed, you know, he was pissed or frustrated. He always had a good vibe about him. And that's what I gravitated to.
Can you be that guy?
Oh, yeah.
You learn from him, you can be that guy, right?
Hell yeah. You know, that's what I strive to be my whole career, is a guy that just helps people, that people can say, look at his attitude when he plays. You know, he struggled, but it doesn't matter. You know, he's out there to compete every single day, no matter how bad it gets or how good it is.
Yeah.
You know, there's never going to be a moment where, say, it goes well for 20 games, I'm raking. Doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm not going to take any my routines off. Everything's going to be the same. And people are going to hold me accountable. I know it.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold you accountable.
Hell yeah.
Because last season was none tougher than obviously you guys.
Mental
for fans, for everyone, but for you guys in the clubhouse, there's nothing tougher. But it was tough on this little old meaningless broadcaster too.
But running out of things to say, running out of positives, well, making stuff up.
You know, there were times I'm like, let's just make something up. See if people are watching.
Yeah, yeah, you had to come up with a lot of stuff last year, I bet.
It's all right, though. It's all right. I'm not digging ditches or anything. I'm blessed. If you guys lost 162, I would still be blessed. So
Jesus. I mean, I don't even think we'll have a team if we lost 162.
Yeah, no, that would be a problem. But let's talk about non-baseball stuff.
Let's do it.
Real quick, because I you know I love that.
Yeah.
You went to where in the offseason? Went to Greece, right?
Yes, I did.
How was it?
That place is special. Like, think about the definition of special. Greece is in that definition. Just because I went with my girlfriend, Daniela, and, you know, we flew into Athens. It was about a 9 to 10 hour flight, I think. Get there, and, you know, they drive us in the city, and it's beautiful. It's like New York, honestly. Smaller New York. And the culture, you know, the atmosphere, the people, the food. I mean, the food, you can't go wrong with the food. Everything about it. The capital was amazing. Spent 2 days there, you know, walked the streets. We went up to the Acropolis, you know, where they did all the Olympic Games and Roman Games. And then we took a boat out to Milos, Greece, and then we started hitting the islands. So once we got to the islands, that's when our perspective on life and everything changed.
Really? How so?
Just because of, like, how those people lived in those islands. You know, they were so simple, so free, happy. They didn't need much. You know, they didn't have much. But it was just like, it was easy living for them. You know, there was no crime. You know, they always say, they sleep with their doors open, their windows open. But just the way the mentality was, I talked to a lot of locals there and everything. When we were on the boats, it's always a happy living lifestyle. And that's what I got out of it. I actually got a tattoo there of how I felt in the moment there. You know, and it's on my leg, and it says serenity. So it says it basically meaning calm, you know, cool, collective, and calm. And that's how I felt at every moment in that country, just because of the people that I surrounded myself with. But Milos was probably, I don't know. It's so hard to say because I went to Milos, Naxos, Paros, Mykonos, and Santorini. So I did 5 islands. It's so hard to pick which ones, you know, are better than the others just because they're all unique. But obviously Mykonos, Santorini are the well-known ones just because of, you know, they're on the movies and, you know, magazines and see all the pictures and people, you know.
Scenery is breathtaking. Yeah.
But I'm telling you, Santorini, you know, all the white and blue rooftops, that was ridiculous.
Really?
It's picture perfect.
Will you go back?
Yeah. Hell yeah. I want to buy a house there.
Whoa. Yeah. Really?
I told Danielle, I said, listen, I want to buy a house there when I retire.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how serious I am about that place.
Wow.
That place is incredible. And the food, like, they don't cook with any of these oils we have here. You know, you feel bloated after a meal, you get a bad stomach ache. I didn't have one stomach ache. I was eating so much food, I didn't gain any weight.
Really?
It was incredible.
Wow. Well, and, there's a lot to be learned. Why do we eat like we eat?
You know.
And I'm America. Speaking for me.
It's America. Yeah. Greasy food. I'm never having a Greek salad here anymore. I had a Greek salad.
You had a real Greek salad.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I had them like twice a day. I was eating them on every island, every place I can get a Greek salad, I was getting them. I was taste testing them. And I was doing ratings and everything. I was actually going to put it on my Instagram, but I never did it.
Really?
Yeah, you know, I should have done it. That would have been pretty funny.
How do you eat when you're just regular? Like, what's a typical day for you?
For me?
Off-season, yeah. I know the season's different, but...
Well, my girl, Daniela, is a very good cook. I told her she should pursue a career in cooking.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of work, so I told her, yeah, it's probably not something you want to do, but she can cook with the best of them. She learned from her mom growing up, so in the Latin background, she can cook some mean Spanish meals. Anything, honestly. But she we eat pretty healthy back home. You know, we have a lot of salmon, a lot of fish. I had a Traeger back in my house back home. So I did a lot of meat on the Traeger.
I heard those are awesome.
Oh, my God. I made some good wings.
Really? Some
crispy wings, yeah. That were incredible.
You have to give me that recipe.
Yeah, I will.
Sucker for good wings. Now.
Oh, yeah.
I've been wanting to invest in a Traeger.
You got to get one.
Got to get
one. They're well worth the money.
Really? Wow, all right.
No doubt about it.
Now, we've done a thing. We did a thing. You can search for this on YouTube, I believe, about your tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
And do you mind talking? I mean, this
you want to do it again?
This is obviously it's podcast form, audio form. So yep. You're going to have to visualize this. But if you would like to go on YouTube and search, we did do a thing about his tattoo because they all have meaning.
Yes,
which
they do.
Is very cool. Now, his left arm, I will describe, is basically a sleeve at this point.
Yes,
I mean, it's
is.
Completely covered.
Tatted up.
Yeah. So, where did it start? I love the story of the first one you got.
So the first tattoo was on my ribs, and I was 16 years old. And I went with my mom, and at the beginning I was like, I want a tattoo. I always told my parents, I want a tattoo. Like, I don't know. I liked tattoos growing up, and my mom was like, you sure? Like, it's on your body forever, blah blah blah. And I finally convinced her. She got one with me at the time. She goes, okay, well, I'll get one with you, and I'll have to be there for it. And obviously, if you're 16, you need a parent.
Right.
So I went, and I got this. I think I've showed you, right?
Yeah, you've shown me. Yeah, it's awesome.
The cross.
It's a cross with some wording baseball. Above it and yep. Blood.
So the meaning is it's baseball stitching in the cross, and I believe in God. So I got the cross and the stitching with because of my love for baseball. And then on the top it says, have faith. And then the bottom says, dreams come true. And it's what my mom always told me growing up. You know, she always said to me as a little kid, I kind of stuck with that motto in my life of always, you know, if I have faith in something and I believe I can do it, it's going to come true. And, you know, being a professional baseball player was always my dream. And I worked really hard for it growing up. And this always reminded me, you know, if I had faith, I would achieve my dream, and I have so far. And there's plenty more, obviously, dreams I have.
Yeah.
But that was where my first one came about. And then, you know, then I just got tied up.
That's awesome, by the way. I still get chills when you tell me that at 16 you put about your dream and that your dream, at least the Major League Baseball portion, has come to fruition.
Yes, yes.
Which is going to set you up for the rest of your life.
Of course.
So, heck of a dream.
Yeah, so, and then my mom got a tattoo as well. Then she got a little love sign in Chinese on the back of her neck.
Oh, really?
With my birth date, year, and my sister's. So
at that same time?
Same time.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was special.
Now, so that's
it was a cool bonding moment for me and my mom.
Wow.
And then, then I went on.
Yeah.
And got a little crazy. But no, these all mean something. You know, I didn't just get them because of they're cool, you know, the looks.
Yeah.
But obviously the main centerpiece is the word family.
It's on your
forearm. Left forearm, right in the middle. And then there's an anchor, if you see the anchor here.
Yeah. Now, what's that say again?
This says family.
Family.
Anchor. And the anchor means family holds me down. And then I have strength with a cross because he gives me strength. And then the roses are what, you know, my mom is fond of. She loves roses. So I did it for her. She's also an orchid lover too. So I'm thinking that's the next tattoo for me, because I'm an orchid lover.
I know we've been well documented on this pod.
And then I went up.
God, that lion is cool, man.
And then I always say I'm a lion. You know, I always say that was my spirit animal growing up, and that's how I approach things in life. You know, I just want to be a lion among sheep. That's just my mentality with stuff. And I have a little cross around his neck. And then the roses, and then inside it says determined, because that's what I live by. And then a special one to me is my father's quote. You can't really see it. I mean, you can see it says, no stone unturned.
Oh, yeah, I can see it.
So
that was his saying, no stone unturned.
Ever since I was a little kid, he'd always tell me to never have any regrets in life.
Yeah.
To always pursue your dreams with, you know, full intent. You know, there's no lacking in effort, you know, to go get what you want. To never leave a stone unturned. He always said that. And that stuck with me, you know, forever. I got that when I was 20, 21. And that meant a lot to me, because that hits hard with everything I do in this game. You know, I don't want a game, say I make a mistake in a game. I know I gave it all my routine before the game. You know, it's just I made a mistake.
Yeah.
I didn't leave anything out, you know, on the field that I was like, I didn't do my routine, and that's why I made a mistake. I don't want to regret. I don't want excuses. So, yeah, that hits me hard. And then this is a good one.
It's on his right arm.
Right forearm. Says, move through fear, climb beyond the darkness. And that goes with a lot of stuff in life. And I found this. I was drinking a bottle of wine with Daniela.
I love this story.
Yeah. I was drinking a bottle of wine with Daniela, and we were just talking about stuff. It was after dinner, and then she goes, look at this cork. And she was like, look at this saying. She goes, this means a lot to you, I bet. And I was like, yeah, because, you know, I went through a lot in life. And that, moving through fear, climbing beyond the darkness, is like, it spoke a lot of words to me. It's just, it hit me straight to the heart, because you got to go through a lot of stuff in life to get where you want to be. A lot of sacrifice, you know, not to get deep, but like a lot of dark times, to be the person you want to be, you know, in life, not even in the game.
Right.
And so that meant a lot. And, you know, I always look at that tattoo. This is my favorite tattoo.
That's your favorite one now?
Yeah,
that's my favorite. And it stands out because it's the only one on your right arm
at
the moment.
And that's the only, I'm never going to touch his arm.
That was my next question.
I always said to myself, I said, I'm never going to touch my right side of my body. Yeah. Like, I touched, I already did my leg, but.
Yeah.
My right side of my body was supposed to be clean. And, but this one hit so hard. I was like, you know, I need this one. And I decided to leave this one as the only one on my arm. My right arm.
Wow. What a great reminder.
Yeah.
And it happened spontaneously, and someone might say that it was coincidence, but you believe in things that aren't coincidences,
exactly,
then that...
It hit me good, and I was like, you know, this means a lot. This, you know, means a lot to the game, too, for me. Like, there's a lot of fear in this game. You know, people play with fear. I've played with fear before. It's the worst feeling in the world. Stepping into the plate, not knowing, you know, what's going to happen, and you have no confidence. You know, you're just out there, just feel like everyone's looking at you. Obviously, everyone's looking at you, but when you play the game like that, you play timid, you play scared, and that's not how you know that's when you make mistakes.
Yeah,
that's how you become, you know, a bad version of yourself. So I remind myself of looking at that tattoo, saying, "Get through the fear of what you have that day and just play."
Yeah,
you know, and climb beyond the darkness of what the game, because this game creates a lot of darkness in your mind.
Oh, it's, and you struggle. I've said it a thousand times. You know? I'm not the only one. It's a game of failure.
Oh yeah.
And so, the guys that can deal with failure the most are the ones that succeed.
Exactly. So that this reminds me to always, you know, beat that darkness.
Well, there's a lot of darkness in this world nowadays. That too. So it's not just baseball. It can be applied for anyone, and anyone out there that's listening right now, that could be their new saying. I mean, yeah, you could inspire some people to overcome any type of darkness they're dealing with.
This world is filled with it. So
yeah, and you guys are dealing, I mean, I don't want to call it darkness, but there's noise out there or surrounding this organization and this team right now. How do you, as a player, do you block it out? Do you use it as motivation?
Well, I mean, there's certain times where I'll use certain things as motivation. You know, I don't go out of my way to look at, well, what is this guy saying? What are these people, reporters, saying? You know, that doesn't matter to me, but I'll go here and there on Twitter, you know, I'll see. Like, you guys saw my tweet before spring.
Yeah, you thanked someone.
Thanked a couple people.
For the negativity.
Yeah, the negativity, you know. That's just a couple things I needed to fuel me for this spring and for this season. So it's just a little reminder. It's nothing that I go out of my way to look at, but it's a little reminder to push every day, no matter what.
Yeah, that's beautiful. You had mentioned that your first tattoo was about the dream of realizing your major league dream. You said, well, I have other dreams in life. Have you defined those yet going forward? I mean, you're still such a young guy and still young in your career. This might be a tough question, but have you thought about the dreams of your life outside of baseball?
Of course. You know, I always think about dreams. You know, I want to have a family. I want to have a beautiful family, healthy family. I want to just be a great, you know, parent. Those are things that are coming up soon for me too. You know, I'm getting older. I'm not old, but
yeah, not old like me. Crusty like guy sitting across from me.
But yeah, they're not, you know, next year or so, but they're coming soon for me. I'm ready, you know, to be just a good person off the field, you know, doing a lot of work community wise. I want to help people, and I have a good partner for that. Danielle is a great partner for that. She's a very kind, caring human being. We want to do we talked about this a lot. We want to do retreats to other countries, like fellowships, what are those
kind of some missionary
work? Yeah, it's missionary works. Yes, yeah. we want to start doing that in the off seasons.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's. I just want to be a good person. You know, I strive to be a good person every day and help people no matter what. Be it, you know, and a happy person. You know, I don't want people to look at me and be like, oh, that guy India, man. That guy's a mean guy. You know, he's dark. You know, I don't want that. Because I was that type of person. You know, I was very.
Were you?
Yeah. Growing up, I was a different person than I am now.
In what way?
Very committed, obviously, to my passion. But I was mean. I just didn't look at people. I looked at people differently. You know, I was, if they didn't, you know, weren't as committed to what I liked, didn't have the same desires as me, you know, I just didn't care about them.
Was there a moment where you're like changed or something
happened?
Yeah,
it's probably when I met Daniela. You know, she brought the happiness out of me, you know, the liveliness. Because growing up, like as a kid, I was fun. You know, I surfed. I did a lot of things that kids do and always wanted, you know, to hang out with friends. And, and as I got older, it's just like, I don't know. High school, I was just kind of like, I thought I was hot. You know, it's kind of cocky. I hate that. I'm not that type of person anymore. So I'm glad I grew out of that. You know, I'm a friendly, loving human being now.
I love it.
Flower boy. You know? I started to love flowers now. I never thought I'd love flowers.
You read my mind, because that's where I was going when you said that kind of plays hand in hand.
Yeah.
That could you have ever imagined that? Even though your mom
she's always
influenced you with roses and orchids, but where's the flower game right now?
Flower game's a little weak right now.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't done any flowers recently. In the off-season is great, obviously. I have orchids back home, but up in Arizona, nothing. Past couple months,
yeah,
it's been a little weak. got to wait till Cincinnati because we got some cool places up there.
Really grow in the desert, although.
You know, there's a lot of cactuses. I'm not a fond person of cactuses, you know. But, yeah, once I get to Cincy, the flower game will be strong again. You know, they bring me happiness, too, so.
That is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to turn you loose here. I hope it's the first of a few that this year. We're doing more?
We're doing more.
Yes.
I want to be a little co-host action, too.
You're going to have to think about it. Now, we'll do Fraley because you guys hang out, and that'll be another deep conversation. But think of some other guys that we could bring in here and that you could interview, and I'll just turn you loose as co-host.
Oh, yeah. I think I like Senzel, too.
Oh,
That'll be a humor one.
You think?
Yeah.
That one we did with you and Farmer and Senzel last year.
How you cut that one
I was holding on for dear life. Like, this might be the last thing I ever do publicly. I am in trouble here.
I felt like an
elementary school teacher.
Dealing with three students.
That was just trying to keep you guys in check.
Yeah, we were having fun.
It was like
fun,
the last day of school, and I was an elementary school
teacher. We were having fun. that was fun.
All right. Well, we'll get him back in here. We'll think
about
others as well. But I appreciate it, man. Lots of luck this season.
Thank
obviously,
you,
I'm rooting for you. If people are listening to this, obviously they are rooting for you. So I hope nothing but great things are ahead for you, and it'll be well deserved because you work very hard at it.
Thank you. So. Yes, I do. Thank you so much, Jim.
You got it.
Love being here. Love being on this podcast.
Thank you. I love that. Love that action. We got much more to come. We'll see you hear from Jonathan India down the road. And as I said, Dolo Ashcraft coming up. Larkin and Davis. Oh, my goodness. I got those guys together. I've been wanting to do that for years. Jake Fraley will be coming up in many, many more. It's the Jim Day Podcast, and we're back for the attack. Thanks for hanging out with us, and we'll check you out next time.